Welcome back to the Aware Show. I am Lisa Garr, and I am... So have you ever had this challenge of the fact that you think that you have to get the money first, but you're working so hard in order to live your best life? So it's this balance. It's this work-life balance. Do I live full out, or do I work full out and then live full out? And this is the challenge that so many people are involved with, especially in the very busy and expensive city like Los Angeles.
Yes.
And so I have a wonderful woman joining me. Her name is Rebecca Whitman. And I love the name of this. It's called How to Make a Six-Figure Income Part-Time. Okay, so that means you have the other part of the time to enjoy yourself and have a life. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. So tell me about how you got started in this concept. Were you in that non-balance of too much work and no life?
I actually was not in that. What happened was my father was actually dying, and he asked me to write something. And he said, just write anything, a newspaper article, magazine article, blog, just share your perspective on the world. And then I was having a consultation with like a financial planner, and he's like, why don't you talk about how you can like do Pilates and yoga all the time and like make money? And he's like, I think people would like that. And I was like, that's what I should write about. So I kind of put those two events together, and then I came up with the title, How to Make a Six-Figure Income Working Part-Time. Because that's what I've been doing for the past 12 years.
You made this promise to your dad.
Yes. I made a promise to my dad on his deathbed that I would write something. And the book is actually dedicated to him.
Mm-hmm. I remember reading that. And I thought that was so beautiful. And it's incredible when you have that type of purpose, that type of passion. I'd love to know, do you feel that you've been guided along the way?
I do. I feel like he was guiding me, and he's still guiding me. I actually met a nice man, and I had been divorced for a year and a half. I talked about that in the book, and I met him on my dad's birthday.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like my dad is very much present in my life, and he is guiding me. He's my angel.
He wants what's best for you, as all parents do.
Yes.
Wants what's best. So, all right, how? Let's break this down.
Okay.
How do you make a six-figure income working part-time?
So I divide life into seven areas: your spiritual life, your physical fitness, your emotional life, your romantic life, your mental life, your social life, and finally your financial life. And ironically, the money is the last piece of the puzzle to fall into place. So once you have all these areas in life working toward peak capacity and you're happy and you're highly functioning and engaged with life, then you'll manifest the money, which is counterintuitive, like you said in the introduction.
So it's really – now when you're working on these six areas of your life, do you have an intention around each area?
You do. And at the end of each chapter, I do three affirmations, and it's all about being very intentional about each area. So, for example, at the end of the romantic chapter, I say, I am feeling more peaceful every day. I enjoy being in the present moment, and I am able to pause before I react. That's the end of the emotional chapter. And each of the seven areas has very specific affirmations to say when you're working on those areas.
So it's basically a workbook for life.
It is. It's a workbook for life. It's your whole life in these seven areas.
It makes so much sense because we run around thinking, oh, you got to get to this, and we've got to get to that, and we've got to get to this. And rarely do we take the time to sit. But when we do finally sit, we're so exhausted that there's no plan.
Right.
It's just try to sleep and try and do it all again the next day.
Exactly.
In these different areas, do you work on one area a week or all six in one day?
I think it's good to work on one area at a time. And once you feel a level of mastery, move on to the next area. Like some people have a few of these areas going great and everybody kind of knows which areas they need to work on. So if you already have some areas that you feel are at peak capacity, you can skip those areas and just, let's say your area is romance and you really want to manifest that person. So you would focus on that area. But I'm doing a seminar on September 16th, and following that, I'm doing a teleconference. And each week for 7 weeks, we are going to focus on one of those areas.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So it starts off with seminar, and then you actually lead groups through so that we don't have to try to figure this out on our own.
Exactly.
And there won't be a book on the side of the bed that starts collecting dust and then a coffee cup.
Exactly, because you don't go to the gym for one day boot camp and then you're in shape. It's a constant mental and spiritual discipline to keep these practices up.
And so when you take the groups through it, is there a program per week? So you've got the first week. What do you start with? What do you start with?
So we start with spirituality, which would be, what is your morning ritual? I think it's really important to start your day connected to whatever your source is, whether it's God, the universe, love. And I talk about the importance of having a morning ritual. How many minutes? A lot of this book is about time management, because if you're making six figures part-time, you have to be very aware and precise of your time. And to me, time is more valuable than money, because we can make money and we can lose money, but time we never give back. We never get that back.
Yeah.
So I say, decide how many minutes minimum are you willing to devote in the morning? If you're rushing out the door and you're running late, can you give 5 minutes to your spiritual practice in the morning? And what's the maximum? If it's like an easy Sunday morning and you can actually spend an hour reading from some of your favorite books and having a longer meditation session. So that would be how we would start out our spiritual practice.
And then you would focus on that for just the week.
Yeah, just getting accountable on how many minutes every morning you're starting your day with, starting your spiritual ritual.
That word accountable is so huge.
It is.
So huge. And having accountability partners, I think, is the total key to success.
It really is. And another one of the practices is having a gratitude list. And we all say, oh, I know, a gratitude list will make me happy, and it's so easy to blow it off. But if you actually have like an email group or one friend that you're accountable to text or email 5 things you're grateful for every day, it just makes you accountable and it makes you do it. And I think gratitude, I call that the secret sauce of life. Like, no matter what's going on, if you just switch your mindset to gratitude, you can kind of lift your spirits.
Okay. Sometimes in the spirituality community, we tend to focus so much on the positive that we don't look at what the real underlying stuff is. When you sit down and you look, make for the gratitude list, but there's 10 things in your life that are really going wrong.
Right.
How do you deal with that?
So I believe in writing down your fear list as well as your gratitude list, because like A Course in Miracles says, all emotions come from love or fear. So the darker emotions, despair, frustration, grief, heartache, anxiety, that's all from fear. So I write down all the fears and then I say, God, please remove these fears. I pray only for the knowledge of your will for us and the power to carry that out. Then you can crumple it up, you can burn it, you can flush it down the toilet. And if you need to keep writing that down before you can kind of clear your energy and kind of get rid of that stuff and then go into the gratitude list. But I agree, you can't just use gratitude and affirmations if there's underlying pain, and there are painful things in life that we do need to process and we do need to grieve.
Also, though, to get truthful about and hopefully start to move out of your life. So if there's – do you have mostly women in your program, or is it men and women?
It's a combination.
Combination.
Yeah.
So if there's, say, people taking advantage of you, you can't just be grateful.
No.
You got to start moving that out of your life.
Right.
And then being grateful for your ability to do that.
Well, I talk about energy vampires in the book, and nobody has neutral energy. People are either enhancing your life or they're draining your energy. There's no in between. And you have to walk away from the people that don't enhance your energy and that don't uplift you. And it's the hardest thing ever as far as friendships and romances. But when you're on a spiritual path and you want to just evolve and self-actualize, it's like you're running a marathon of life, Lisa, and some people are like throwing bananas on you, and they're just like saying, oh, you look fat in those running shorts, and really, you think you can finish the marathon? Like, you can't run the marathon of life with people like that on the sidelines.
Well, health is a great point, and I'm glad you brought that up. So that's one of the first things that I wake up with in the morning, and by 4 o'clock, I'm starving and sabotage the whole thing. So is this common? I would think so. Because so many things in our day take precedence. You get on this great plan, you exercise in the morning, and then there's the diet, and you're going to stick with the food plan the rest of the day. And then 97 things happen, and by the time you're at 4 o'clock, I've forgotten to eat. And then it goes from there, and it's not a good situation. Then there's
right.
Pickup, carpool, making dinner, homework. Oh, I forgot to eat again. So it's not a good situation.
Yes.
How do you deal with the health and putting yourself first?
Well, in the book, I talk about health is the new wealth because you can have all the money in the world and make a seven-figure income working part-time. But if you're not able to get out of bed and function in the world and enjoy life, then what is the point of all the money?
Right.
There's no point. So health is our number one biggest resource. So I say to plan your day around your health. Plan your day around your workout. Get that out of the way in the morning. So when the day goes on and things get stressed and you have to pick the kids up at school, you already have that out of the way. And then plan mini meals. And if you're on the go running, have like, you know, granola or trail mix or fruit. Plan it out. Try to eat every 2 to 4 hours so you keep your metabolism going all day and you don't crash and burn and then go to the McDonald's drive-thru.
Well, it's also, again, I'm going to bring this thing up about truth because it seems to be a theme in the earlier part of the show too, is about, say, doctor's visits and going to take care of your health and going to all these various things. There has been such a compliance or niceness when you go to the doctor. You go to the doctor and they tell you what's wrong and you go and you fix it. Do we ever really confront our doctors saying, okay, you come in here and here's the checkup, but what's really happening? I really need your help and I'm paying you to help me. And can you please get to the bottom of this? And does anybody ever really do that when it comes to their health? Get full accountability from their healthcare practitioners about their health as much as they're taking accountability? Because if it's in one place and it's got to be everywhere else too.
Yeah. And I mean, definitely get the information from your doctor, but to take accountability of your thought patterns and how they affect your health. And disease is dis-ease in the body. So it's like, what kind of anger, what kind of resentment are you carrying that you can get out of your body to aid your healthcare practitioner in helping your health get to the next optimal level?
It's an interesting system because I know doctors are people too, and they're trying to make an income as well. And they have a routine they're going at with like every single day. But you come in and it's important to wake that whole thing, really be a part of the conversation and be a part of your health and be proactive about it and really work together with your healthcare practitioner.
I agree.
It's just a whole point of once you focus on that for a week and just on health and you start to get accountable with everything that you're doing around it, the shadow shows up, the truth shows up, the solutions show up, the possibilities show up. It all starts to come together, huh?
You start to get, when you focus on a certain area, you start to get information and signs everywhere. It's like if you focus on a red, you know, Volkswagen Beetle, it's like you start seeing those everywhere. So, yeah, you start getting that information. And not to go off on a tangent on doctors, because I come from a family of doctors and lawyers, but doctors, in a way, are like legalized drug dealers. If they're not holistic, Western doctors, some of them are great, some of them are holistic, but a lot of them are paid to prescribe drugs.
Right. Yeah, that's the model.
Yeah.
That's the model. And they have these drug companies spend a lot of time and money and resources to get the doctors to sell the drugs.
They wine and dine them.
And they make an additional income stream that way.
Yes.
I can't blame them because my father was a doctor too, and the same thing happened. Because the practice of being a doctor is also very challenging. You go in with a passion to want to help people, and then you have a business.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't go to business school.
Right.
You went to medical school. And this is what is challenging. So that's a very easy target is to go to doctors and say, oh, you can make an additional income stream. I'll help you with your business. It's not easy on their side, but I think what you're saying and this main takeaway for people is the accountability factor.
Right.
You have the body. You have the health. You can't just go in and expect somebody else to help to fix it.
Right. You have to do stuff too. And I talk a lot about the exercise chapter, the fitness. When you exercise, your body releases serotonin and dopamine and endorphins and all the stuff that people take psychoactive drugs to get. And if you're taking drugs, God bless you. Talk to your doctor before you stop taking anything. But you can get a lot of those feel-good hormones from exercise.
I think I remember reading you said something about try to make a bad decision while exercising. It's not possible.
Exactly. Or no one ever said I regret that workout.
Right.
Yeah.
That too. It always feels so great, even if you get in 30, 40 minutes. It feels great because it starts to release the happy hormones that are, for me, it releases the executive function. Like I start to make decisions and get clarity. And I don't know if that's the serotonin or the dopamine, but I really love that executive function. It goes online and it says, okay, we can do this. Let's get this moving. Let's get these thoughts into a moving forward direction. And so it really is this, the whole idea of how to make a six-figure income part-time is really about accountability in these six areas of your life, having an accountability partner. But my question is, how do you get to the six-figure part?
Great. So that is the financial chapter. That's the last chapter. So if you're healthy, if you're happy, if you're positive, the next thing is to find something that you can make money with. So if you're working 9 to 5, 40 hours a week, you're not going to make a six-figure income part-time because your limited time is your money, mm-hmm. 40 hours. So I talk about getting a side hustle. What are you excited about? Ask yourself a couple questions. What am I good at? What do I like to do for fun and what makes me mad? Those might give you an idea about what you're passionate about, and that can be your side hustle. You can start a business. You can start a franchise. You can do a network marketing company, something that you can get fired up about that's going to give you the energy to work full time and also devote a few hours every day to this side hustle.
I was speaking with this great lady yesterday, and she is a part-time bus driver. She drives for Metro, LA Metro, and she's also does braiding for hair. And she called herself an entrepreneur. And she had these two great businesses where she's, you know, driving the bus, and she's also working in various salons with braiding and beauty and all sorts of things. And she, her son said to her, "Mom, I want to be an entrepreneur like you." I thought that was so cool because she is essentially doing what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
She's working the day job, and then she's got this side hustle that she loves. And she pours so much into it, and she's really essentially doing it so she can put her kids through school.
Right. That's exactly – I love that example because she loves beauty and braiding and probably socializing with the people as she's braiding their hair.
Totally.
And so it's not like a drag, like, oh, I'm working 8 hours and now I've got to go to the salon. It's like, ooh, whose hair do I get to braid? And I talk about that, changing your inner dialogue, changing your I have to's to I get to. Like, I get to do a side hustle that one day can manifest a six-figure income working part-time, rather than thinking, oh, my God, I've got to work this job for 40 years. And then when I'm 65, they might throw me a retirement party.
Yeah, and then what happens with the retirement money, we can't be in a lot of control over. But you can be in control. Like what she's going to start doing is she's going to start learning how to put on lashes on people. And she's going to learn that trade. It only takes a couple months. And then she's going to start something else within the same wheelhouse, but an additional revenue stream within that wheelhouse. This is resourcefulness. This is what has to happen, I think, in a city like this, too. When you get into a really crowded city, but you've been, you know, here your whole life and you're raising kids here, you got to figure it out with the income and with the rising prices of how to live in somewhere like this.
I think everybody should have 5 or 6 income streams, because if one business is bad, then you have a couple others that are going good, and just be creative.
I agree, especially because industry is changing so fast. You have no idea how long your income stream is going to be there.
Yes.
And then if it is there, and if you're fortunate to be in a really solid industry, at the end, you don't know how long your retirement's going to be there. These things tend to be out of our control because industry changes so fast.
Yes.
It's good to have them. God bless you if you do.
Yeah.
Keep that job. Keep that day job.
Exactly. Keep it and get your side hustle. And with Facebook and Instagram advertising and Google advertising being so inexpensive and everybody's always online, there's no better time than now to start your side hustle and to get that entrepreneurial spirit going.
You could even be somebody who manages people's Facebooks. You can be a personal cook and do shopping. I mean, there's so many different things. What are some of your suggestions in the side hustle world?
Well, I really like network marketing because 1 out of 4 self-made millionaires are from network marketing. and it doesn't take a lot of money to start, and people naturally share things that they like. If we see a good movie or go to a good restaurant, we naturally are going to share that with our friends. So if you find a product that you like, and for network marketing, it could be anything from coffee to tea to makeup to exercise, nutrition. I mean, there's everything. So find something that you're genuinely excited about. Be a product of the product and share that with your friends. Come from service and contribution, not, oh, I want to sell my friends. And it's amazing what you can build.
It's totally what my husband does. He's Isagenics and he loves it. And he's a part of a culture and a community. And it's so cool. I mean, we both are as a result of that because it brings it all together for us. That's a good point that you bring up about network marketing is that all these network marketing companies really have it dialed in where it comes to culture and community. They know how to provide culture and connection and community. And that's a really good thing to know when you're doing a side hustle or any type of business is getting that connection with people. But it's got to start with yourself.
Yes.
And this program's a great way to be able to do that. When is the event?
The event is September 16th in Santa Monica at the Hull Center, and it's from 1 to 6. And we're going to be breaking down these different areas, giving you techniques, tools, tips, strategies on how to maximize your potential in each area. It's going to be an amazing interactive dynamic seminar.
Cool. And how do people find out about it?
It's on Eventbrite under how to make a six-figure income part-time, and you can also find out about it on my website, which is RebeccaElizabethWhitman.com.
It's a low price. It's a $49 ticket price, or if you want the book as well, it's $60, which is really nice. Now, is this the Prudence Hall Center?
Yes, this is the Hall Center.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think she's amazing, too.
Yes, she is.
That's great. When you have people come to these seminars, what do you feel is the biggest complaint people have? What is the biggest issue they're trying to work through?
They don't think they're worth it. Mm. They don't think they're worth making a six-figure income part-time. So they have to be willing to do the inner work, which we help with at the seminar. But it's a daily practice. But they think they're only worth like being an assistant or working for $10 an hour. Part of them knows that that's out there because they know people are making six figures working part-time, but it's a self-worth issue. I think that would be the number one issue.
But there's got to be a bridge, though. So say I'm worth, you know, $10 million and I'm only making 10. How do you bridge that gap? Like, I feel like I'm worth a ton, but I got to get the rest of the world to agree.
Yeah, it's these seven areas, the steps and the practices and the strategies and the tools that I give you in these seven areas, because once you're healthy and dynamic and have a great social life and have mental clarity and you're this high-functioning, beautiful, energetic human being, other people are going to say, oh, wow, that person's worth a lot more than $10 an hour, and you're going to start manifesting better opportunities.
Let's talk about social. I forgot about that, the social aspect. What does a healthy social life look like? And it's interesting you put social and romance in two different categories.
Right. Well, social is kind of like what you said about your husband's community with the network marketing. So to me, community breeds immunity. In a society like this, which is so isolated by technology, in a way, we've never been more connected because we can just instant message someone through all these different platforms,
right,
but we're sitting alone in our dark apartment. So community, seeing people in person, whatever that is, whether that's church or temple or yoga class or a business model, it's really important to be with people and to have a community to support you in achieving these goals and dreams. Because if you're in a community of negative people, they're going to do everything they can to keep you down. You're going to tell them, oh my God, I found this great business opportunity. And they're going to say, really? You really think you're going to do that? So it's really important. You are who you hang around.
Yeah, you're the sum of the, what, five people that you surround yourself with.
Yeah, and your income is usually within 10% of the average of the people you hang around. So if you want to start manifesting more money, you want to start hanging around with successful people.
You should do that in your life. Just take a look and at the average income of the people that you surround yourself with, and it will match yours.
Yeah.
So fascinating, within 10%. The six areas, again, spirituality, health, we've talked about, social, emotional, and romance.
And then finally, financial.
Finance.
There's seven areas total, but six areas to get into balance before you get into the seventh.
Okay.
So
Tell me about emotional.
Emotional is really important because if you want to go into business and be attractive to people, if you're a negative person who's constantly complaining and is constantly in anxiety or fear, people aren't going to be attracted to you and they're not going to want to do business with you. So you have to switch your emotions from fear to love, and you have to be coming from contribution, because if you're fear-based, you're really thinking about yourself a lot and you're more inward. And when you're coming from love, if you're starting a business and you're wanting to make money, people can feel that love coming at them and they're going to be magnetized to want to do business with you.
What happens when you fall off the path on any one of these things? Does it set you back?
Oh, no. I mean, I think it's just like with anything, like if you're working on a healthy diet or working out or like having emotional health, I think it's just part of being human. It's like when you're on a path, it's like 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, 5 steps forward, 1 step back. That's just being human, and that's just part of the learning process. And I talk a lot in the book about recovering from perfectionism. It's not about being perfect. I like to say I strive for imperfection. I'm not a mistake if I make a mistake, because we learn from our mistakes. We learn, wow, I got derailed today. I got really anxious about something, or I got really frustrated and I wanted to lash out. And you can ask yourself, where did I go wrong? Where did I get derailed today? And how can I get myself back on track? And I really think that appreciation is the fastest way to get yourself back on track if you get derailed emotionally.
And to a little forgive yourself a little bit. Give yourself a little bit of a break around it.
Yeah, forgive yourself. Yeah, and forgive everyone. Give everyone a break, because everyone is just trying the best they can on any given day, and we all make mistakes.
Oh, I love this, because it also creates a culture and a community itself. It very much so does. So this is How to Make a Six-Figure Income Working Part-Time. The book is available where?
On Amazon.
Cool.
It's available in Audible, CD, Kindle, and paperback.
Very nice. And then the workshop is September 16th. You can find it on Eventbrite. And it's the title, How to Make a Six, the number six, Figure Income Part-Time. Six fig income part-time. Okay,
yes.
Got it. At Eventbrite. Or you could just look up Rebecca Whitman and you will find out more that way. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was wonderful.
Great stuff.
All right.
Thanks. Thank you so much, Tina Salvati, executive producer of The Aware Show. Kiana, thank you for engineering today. And thank you, Joyce Walker, for producing. And thank you for listening. Your energy makes these shows happen. And until next time, I'm Lisa Garr, and I invite you to stay aware.